Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
But look, I'm on the front page of the Times. Today.
It's so touching that you're excited about being on the front page of the newspaper that you've worked for 30 years.
I am. There's a picture of me, and then there's a picture of a beautiful lady, and it says the best spring jackets to buy now.
Yes, because Wednesday is fashion day at the Times.
Isn't that right? So yeah. They thought, oh, we'll have a picture of Giles and a picture of a lady in a spring jacket, and yes. Then it'll fly off the newsstand. Have you got that fantastic paper? My school days were grim. Let the girls in, he cries. Because yesterday you were writing a piece for a rival newspaper about... Yeah. The letting in of girls at 700-year-old Westminster School. And then they called me and I was on a train and they wanted me to do it. And it was literally, I said, no, I can't do it. And then I thought, oh, fuck it, I can.
Yes, so Westminster, which is the school that we both went to, although... many hundreds of years apart.
Mm-hmm. Early in its 700-year history.
Has decided that at the moment they let girls in at the top 2 years, and now they're going to let them in from seven. They're going to have the same entry points as boys. So
it's going to become a mixed school.
And 13. It's going to become mixed all the way up, yeah.
We don't give a shit, do we? I mean, we would not be talking about this, but it's in all the papers and on all the TV everywhere. Yeah. Why is it a news story?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. I mean, I think single-sex education is something that's been talked about a lot recently, because there is the central argument of, is it a good idea, or is it, you know, why was it ever done, and is it still a good idea? I mean, I thought the received wisdom is that co-education benefits boys and single-sex education benefits girls.
I've heard it the other way around too, and it's all about what's benefit and what's not benefit. Why do they do it? Because society used to be segregated. You know, things used to be segregated. Monks went to monasteries and women went to nunneries. Well, they didn't really, many, did they? But, you know, things were segregated.
Also, education is a difficult one, isn't it? Because for a long time, girls didn't go to school at all. So a school was necessarily just for boys, because girls did something else. So it feels like it's sort of a hangover from that. My only worry about co-education is that... I think that there is a bit of a problem with boys at the moment. I think that boys are quite often told that they are basically everything that's wrong with society.
You tell me that like seven times a day.
I don't. When have I ever said that?
That was a little joke.
But it wasn't funny at all. And it's a completely non-representative of whatever I was saying.
I'm trying to make you laugh. Didn't you see the story today which says you can tell how recently people have fallen in love from their laugh?
Can you?
Yeah.
What sort of manic, drunken laughter?
Did you not see that story?
I know.
Well, we'll
I
come back to it because I want to talk about it. But do you want to keep? Yeah. We'll keep on with the.
But I'm being serious and boring. But what I want to say is, I think there's a bit of a problem with boys at the moment. I think that boys are made to feel like they are shit and inferior because of all of their masculine qualities. Right. So boys are told that they are immature and violent and pedantic. And silly. If you tell boys that they are shit because of their masculine qualities, they will not grow up to be nice boys. They will grow up hating women.
Well, because it's interesting, and we'll come at you, because that's a version of a thing that I write sometimes about men, that I'm so fed up with the phrase man flu and mansplain and manspread. And you attach man to anything and immediately make it shit.
Yeah.
And these things that I don't think exist, I don't know whether I'm manspread, but I don't. Do I mansplain? Who knows? But I certainly don't get man flu. I'm perfectly good about getting ill and not getting ill. And this idea that these cliches have flipped around as a kind of extreme flip of feminism, you know, from chauvinism to an extreme feminism where men have to own their shitness and wear these gimpy little, this is what a feminist looks like
t-shirts. The problem you have with that, right, is that even though there may be, you know, that manspreading does exist, mansplaining does exist, like all of those things do totally exist. But the fact is that if you want to change that and if you want to create basically kind, good-hearted men, telling them that they are crap is not.
And is that what's happening to boys in schools, do you think?
My experience with my son, who is quite a standard masculine boy, is that when he was in a mixed school, he was told that he was shit and immature because he was a boy. And because he was a boy, he was shit, and the future is female. I believe in that. I believe in feminism. I also believe that's not how you treat boys.
So you think this sort of toxic masculinity thing is... Sam's a bit obsessed with it, isn't he? Toxic masculinity. He's not interested in Andrew Tate. He doesn't admire Andrew Tate.
Yeah, he knows who Andrew Tate is.
But he knows who he is and talks about him and doesn't understand. And they're making this big thing like boys are going to him. Do you think boys are going school? Because it's meant to be schoolboys. There's a story in the paper this week.
It's 12, 13, 14.
And then this week it's a thing about is the responsibility of schools to keep them off Andrew Tate. Are the boys going towards Andrew Tate because they're at mixed schools where they're being told they're not as good as girls? Controversy. Controversy.
I don't.
She said. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I don't know, but I tell you, if I was told that I was shit all the time because of my feminine qualities, I would grow up hating men quite a lot. I don't know the right way to do it, but I know that the wrong way to solve toxic masculinity, which exists, right? I'm not denying it. It exists. Some men are fucking monsters and very sexist and they hate women, and I totally, that's fine. But what do you do about it? What you don't cure it by just saying, you're rubbish, you're shit, you're awful, men are terrible. That's not what you do, particularly not to 9-year-old boys. No. So, but I don't know what the right way is, but I do wonder if maybe celebrating the good things about boys and maybe trying to ignore the bad things about them. I don't know. That's what you're supposed to do with your children.
The thing that I wrote in the Times today, what was your take in the Telegraph on this story?
No, the Telegraph just wanted me to write a whimsical piece about my 2 years at Westminster, which I fucking loved. And I thought the boys were good-natured, generous, sweet boys.
Well, you came in the sixth form. So you came in because I wrote my school days were grisly and it was buggery and it was blanking on the biscuit and it was cold showers and it was runs and it was tiny dormitories with not enough beds and it was terrible food. In that way that English public school boarding school survivors, as I think we can now call ourselves. Again, Neil, you should just clip that laugh and do a little laugh selection later when we're discovering how much my wife loves me in a story that we'll come to.
In Iceland, they schools... what?
Iceland.
They
have schools.
Yes, they do.
They teach you to cut a hole in the ice and ice fish schools. Through it. And
then it's called Pingvellir school.
Is it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
But I've been to Iceland, so I know how they talk in Iceland.
Pingvellir.
Pingvellir. Skule ever dottir Magnusson. So they in Iceland they have mixed schools. Segregated lessons. Everyone goes to the same school, but the boys and the girls have separate.
Really?
Lessons. Yes.
And then you sort of you have 40-minute cooling off period, and then you just dive on each other at break time.
Yes,
again,
yes.
And they go off to physics at bollocks.
Yes. Well, Iceland.
That's
Iceland,
not true.
It is true, and the Iceland does have a kind of culture of that. Every Friday night in Reykjavik Square. What?
I'm just doing my. What you're about to say doesn't sound like it's going to be true. Face.
Okay, I won't say it.
No, tell me what they do on a Friday night.
Well, on a Friday night in Iceland, everyone goes to Reykjavik Square, and the boys and the girls come in sort of separate gangs, and everyone gets incredibly drunk. Well, that's how they used to do it in 1996, but I don't know what they do now. It's probably a bit more progressive now.
The thing that's most sexist about Iceland, is that in Iceland. They have this famous piss on the shark dish, you know? You bury a shark out the back in the snow.
Right.
And for the next 7 years, you piss on it until it's properly fermented. And then you eat it. And, like, it's apparently nicer than you'd think. Which is...
well...
If someone said, it's not as delicious as it sounds, but we eat. I think it's like it's going to be a...
Nosebleed. It's nicer than that
when
sounds.
You imagine someone pissing on a shark, what are you imagining? It's a bloke, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not a woman pissing on a shark.
Your bum will get awfully cold in Iceland.
You have to drop it all down and then squat and wee in front of it. Whereas you imagine the blokes just drinking vodka and standing out there and weeing onto the thing. And I just think that's probably quite sexist. And do you think feminists in Iceland make a big thing about we should be allowed to piss on the sharks too?
Let's move on, shall we?
Yes, let's move on to the other thing on the front of the Times, which you bought today, because it's got a picture of me in a really scratchy green linen shirt that I never wear, that I bought almost just for that shoot. It makes me feel ill whenever I look at it. And I've got my hand on my pocket in that sort of I'm a little teapot pose that they made me do, which I hate. When you fall in love, the world around you may cease to exist, but others can hear it in your laughter. Ignoring the physical signs of attraction, a study has found that we can spot a newly attached couple from sound alone. It takes only a few seconds to distinguish between the pleasant laughter of friends and the more baby-like, more submissive laugh of those in a fledgling romance, according to research. Rather than being, we should blah, blah, blah. And they were doing stuff on Times Radio this morning and talking about laughs. And I thought that was quite sweet. And
do
I was wondering
what?
If Neil could do some of your laughs. He could put them in.
So on our street, there was a man, and we know him very well, and his wife died, and it was very sad. And then about 5 years later, he got together with a lovely woman who we both love. And I saw them walk, before we knew they were together, I saw them walking down the street together, and I could tell that they were dating, even though they weren't holding hands or anything, because he said something and she just she just went, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, he's got a new girlfriend. Amazing. But just the way that she threw her head back and laughed, I just thought, oh, all right, okay.
Yeah, she doesn't laugh anymore this though, does she?
She laughs at my jokes.
Well, making girls laugh, that's the thing. That's meant to be a wooing thing, and everyone says it's one of my favourite jokes that I've ever made of my own. Which the line was always that nothing women find nothing sexier than a funny man.
Like, yeah.
Why am I still a virgin then? Mm. And also, if that were true, Woody Allen would not have had to marry his own daughter.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't. I've heard that joke too many times.
Yeah,
I can't summon up a laugh.
I'll make you laugh in a minute with something else. And Neil laughed, which means he's in love with me. So that's
for
there
now.
You go. I told you it wouldn't be long. I was just thinking, so what might be funny about this, if I'm looking for a column about... So laughter shows that you're newly in love. It's a new relationship. Mm-hmm. What are the other signs for a new relationship? Okay. You can tell that they're newly in love because of the way they laugh. You can also tell it's a new relationship because... thinking of listicle here, 50
well,
of
yeah,
these.
Yeah, nobody tuts. There's no issue over tone of voice. You can speak in whatever tone of voice you like.
Yeah, tone of voice is a very good one. Don't like your tone.
Nobody farts ever. It's like literally you don't fart or go to the loo.
Neatly trimmed pubes. I mean, I used to sort of tidy up the garden area in the early days.
You've always got really carried away.
But that's because
you're trying to even up both sides and it's just gone.
Bearing in mind when I began my sexual career, people still had great big 80s bushes. Right? But by the way, you came to me fresh at this kind of 90s thing when I was aware that everyone sort of trimmed really hard.
Okay.
And I sort of then my bush looked a bit weird. So I then, and I tried to do it with my beard trimmer, and I do it on a sort of number four, which on a face looks quite stubbly, but on balls that have literally been covered in hair for 30 years, I did it and it looked really bad. It looked really terrible.
You look like the last turkey in the shop.
And then there's also that thing in porn. It's meant to make it look bigger. Once
right.
You've shaved it, and that's really you have nothing. You go, look, I've shaved it. It's still the same size. But then I stopped doing it because I sort of got silly, and you were never even looking in that direction, let alone going anywhere near it. And then you laughed one day at my big hairy bush, and I thought, well, A, it's like there's proof because it's been like that for 3 years without you noticing.
You look like that painter, that American painter who did in the 70s, who does those watercolour demonstrations. You don't know who that is, it's fine.
No, the poet Allen Ginsberg.
Yes, exactly.
Just his big nose poking out through a massive
hair. He was hiding in your thighs.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, well, do you think there are legs in this or not? Is there a kind of big listicle in...
Other things that you do when you're newly in love? Well, sort of pretend to be interested in culture. Sort of newly in love couples sort of go to art galleries and
that's
stuff.
That's true.
Before you both admit that you don't give a F.
Good one.
Modigliano.
Modigliani, I think.
Modigliani, whatever.
And I don't think you pronounce the G.
Well, I am a complete Philistine, so I don't care. The crux of it is that it's all a pretense, right? When you're newly in love, you're just presenting your very best self towards to the other person. And you're not revealing your actual sort of quote-unquote single self to them because it might be unappealing and they might leave. So it's all about the stupid pretenses that you have. You pretend to enjoy cooking. You pretend to enjoy French cinema. You pretend to enjoy all of these things that you...
Sex.
You pretend... Well, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
If the man's wearing sort of wee-stained jogging pants, you know, and prison white trainers, you know that they've been together for a while.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that does have some legs, but you can think about the other legs later, and let's move on to a different point.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So tell us the story.
Okay, so this is about a cruise that lasts for 3 years.
It's first prize, 1 year cruise.
Third prize, a 3 year cruise. And this autumn, hundreds of passengers will embark on a round the world cruise, sailing 137,000 miles and lasting 3 years, all for £73,260.
It's quite funny that that story was page three of the Times on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the story was about the barges they're going to put illegal immigrants on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, being trapped on a boat for a long time. And they think it's going to put off the asylum seekers from coming here across the channel in boats, where they hear they have to live on a massive boat for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then now they're saying that's a thing you pay not all that much for.
3 years, 73. Well, and does it include food or not? Probably not.
That's not including food, and that's in a small cabin with no sea view.
Passengers will be able to access free medical care on board, and the ship also has a morgue in case passengers die.
Now, okay, my but just a quick morgue point, brackets. Oh, yeah. Is this your thing, the morgue thing?
Well, my favourite kind of story is when you get a Noro outbreak on a cruise.
Oh, God. That's where it's... No, it's where the fucking COVID started. You can't laugh about that. Here she goes again.
I'm not...
It's only because you're
COVID.
Newly in love with someone, isn't it?
I'm not...
No, the thing... You know the thing with morgues? They have morgues on all cruise ships.
Yeah.
Because on any given, like, week, they lose, like, people... Three people a week die on cruises.
Well, that's because it's mostly OAPs.
It is. It's old
but
people.
They're appealing to younger people.
Put them on for 3 years, they'll all be dead by the time they come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine if they'd moved to that during COVID, when they were keeping those people on the cruises and not letting them off because they had COVID?
Yeah.
Anyway, come on, what are we doing here? What are we doing with the story of the three-year cruise?
Well, my first thought, and I know that you're not supposed to write your first thought, but I do think it was quite funny, is that your three-year diary, September the 6th, 2023... So excited to be embarking on this groundbreaking blah, 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 blah. September the 12th. Oh, my God, I am so bored. You know, like, and you've got 3 years. So it's 3 years.
Look at the menu. They've got 9 choices at each thing 2 years later. Oh,
exactly.
My God.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you all the days that I had the vegetarian lasagna.
September the 6th, 2026. Everybody is dead. It's just me. I hope.
Well, you would do it. It is funny. And it's like, how would you keep it? Because of the column about it could be as boring as being on it. If it was just like those things. There's all the other options, if you're thinking one stage further and you're referring to the notion that you don't write the first idea, what's the second idea? Throw that away, write the third idea. The second idea for me, from you saying that, would be, it sounds to me a bit like, would get to be like Moby Dick or the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Right.
You could do it in verse, But it would be it is an ancient cruise ship, and it's stoppage one of three. By thy long grey beard, and then you know what I'm saying.
So I've never been on a cruise. I would fucking love to go on a cruise. No, I know. So you can write about it because you know what being on a cruise is like. Which I've got no idea what being on a cruise is like. I can only imagine it is
old people
fucking fabulous.
Old people complaining about the food.
Is it?
I went on a Swan Hellenic cruise of the lands of the Bible.
That sounds really good.
In the middle, we saw the pyramids and the Jerusalem
Brilliant.
And stuff like that.
Love that.
But basically, what happens is everyone was at least 80, and you arrive in these things, but and you go by boat. But a lot of interesting shit is inland, so you then get on a coach for ages.
Okay.
And because they're all old, they need a wee the whole time. So, for example, when I went to see the Great Pyramids of Giza on this Swan Hellenic cruise in 1996 or 1997, I went to the press freebie. To write about, and we got on the bed, and we stopped for a wee every half an hour, and the thing ding dong, like it hit the, and we finally, and then when we finally got, I could see the pyramids. We stopped for lunch, right? and everyone had to go for a wee after lunch, and we got to the pyramids, and literally, and I was with my girlfriend then, Katie, and what I wanted to do was just walk around a pyramid, but you weren't. You took photos, and they said there's no time to walk around the pyramid because it takes about 20 minutes to walk around a pyramid. They're quite big. Got to go back. Because we've got to get everyone back to the thing because the boat's taking off again at like 6 and we need to have time for a wee stop. Are you fucking kidding? Look at these desiccated old they've pissed out their very life. They cannot, it's boiling their sweat, they can't need to piss again. Well, actually, they said, and I'm a little older now and I sympathise a little more,
yeah.
Especially with the men.
Yeah.
But we just spent the whole time pissing. And so that's basically what would be, that was the story of the whole cruise. So I could write about that. I could write about, you write about cruise. I think more fun also write about holidays.
Mm.
It's just that thing of holidays are so shit. This is coming out in the Easter holidays. You're possibly going away somewhere.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, it can't be as bad as a 3-year cruise.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about, you know, my famous, what always happens when we go on holiday? What do I always do?
You always freak out on the first day.
It is known as Daddy's first day meltdown.
Yeah.
Wherever we go, however much we've paid, however much, except if we're going back somewhere. So the first day meltdown, but it would be on a 3-year holiday, it was the first six months.
As a percentage of the holiday, would be quite.
As
a long
percentage
time.
Of the holiday, I would spend 6 months just saying it was incredibly shit. So there's some small ones and there's a big one we're going to do. I quite liked taming beastly terms. Animal welfare activists want to ban sports terms such as rabbit punch used by boxers and catching a crab when rowers make an error. The campaign group PETA said the phrase has perpetuated violence against animals.
Mm. Well, they've got to do something with their time, haven't they?
Because they have.
They've won quite a lot of the animal welfare wars, so they're sort of really reaching.
They really are, aren't they?
But they have, you know, they are lobbyists, and they have to.
Do I was thinking about other things
to lobby against? Yeah,
and I was just thinking about all the other things we'd have to change. Like you couldn't do fishing for compliments.
No, absolutely
not. To go.
Yeah, exactly. Bear hug.
Bear hug, got to go.
Don't be so catty.
Don't be so catty, exactly. Don't rat on a colleague.
Yeah, don't rat them out, yeah.
I can't think of an animal that hasn't. Horsing around has to stop.
Squirreling things away.
Squirreling things away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a cock. or is that not one?
Snake in the grass.
Your chicken.
Yeah, exactly, your chicken.
All right, trout pout.
Yeah.
Right. I think that animal one, while it made us laugh, what would you do a column about? You'd have to change it. You have to make it something else.
That's just such a long list of... I mean, it's quite funny to keep them covered. There are so many animals.
It's quite a funny small item. But the story that struck me as being was the news of that Ramblers.
That's my story as well.
Oh, go on then.
No. You do it. You do it. I can't believe we both picked out the same story for you to do for the really good story.
Oh, really? Ramblers race to save 1066 site from £90
yes.
million pound holiday park.
Yes, that's the one I had.
The Bluebell Woods of the Normanhurst Estate. Right, so Will Humphreys, our countryside correspondent. What a nice job.
I know.
Lie on the historic trail that William the Conqueror took on his path to victory over King Harold at the Battle of Hastings in 1066. Now a band of ramblers are fighting plans by developers to turn the protected woodland in East Sussex into a £90 million holiday park with 211 lodges, 350 parking spaces, a spa, a swimming pool and a restaurant.
Now, where were you thinking about going with this story? Because...
Well, I wonder if it'd be giving anything away to tell you what book I'm holding in my hand.
The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle.
I went and dug out my Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. And I thought, what were you thinking I would do?
Well, there is also an adjacent story in the Times on Tuesday in the foreign section. Protests over zipline plan on Sugarloaf Mountain. So this is basically the same story, but in Brazil. Hundreds of protesters in Rio de Janeiro at the weekend demand to stop the plans to build four 2,500-foot zip lines to Sugarloaf Mountain, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So we just have, with this people power, stopping terrible things being done to, because that's an AONB, right? So I, so my knee-jerk reaction was that you do proper satire. What is wrong with these people? What we really need on these boring places is holiday parks and zip lines. They're being so dull. What could be nicer on this protected bluebells? Ha! Seen one, seen them all. You know.
It'd be very sarcastic. It's one of those columns where I'm recommending. Saying the thing which is not.
Exactly. Yeah.
But these people are.
And what was your sort of initial thought of what to do with it? You wanted to do.
So I have cracked out my copy of the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find yours, strangely.
I've committed it to memory.
Ah, I see. Well, then you will know what it says about the entry for 1066.
Some people learn the Quran. I learn the ASC.
Of course, I probably won't try and do it in Old English, but 1066, there's the Parker Chronicle and the Lord Chronicle, and they sort of go hand in hand. In this year, 1066, in this year came William and conquered England. And in this year, Christchurch was burned, and a comet appeared on the 18th of April.
Absolutely.
On the children's menu, burger and chips. Chicken goujons.
And the daily cocktail is a mojito.
When Tostig learned that there was a free tennis court, he sailed down the Humber with Harald Hardrada and did play two sets before stopping for gin and tonic.
Oh, it's very, very difficult to know which one you should do.
Because he was informed that William the Bastard, so-called, because he was always jumping the queue at the buffet,
very good.
Was about to invade this land to conquer it. Meanwhile, Earl Tostig came into the Humber with 60 ships and Earl Edwin came with land levies. Now, the problem with the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle is, the good thing is, it's not biblical language, so it's not, it's parodying, it's quite hard because it's quite bland, although I think people can probably see it. Mm-hmm. And obviously I can use it, I can't do it in, because it was written in Anglo-Saxon, and I can't really, I can throw in some Anglo-Saxon words to make it sound thing, but we...
Anglo-Saxon words are always to me just sort of fucking shit and bollocks, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of. And the people of Cambridge.
I like your idea better.
So, so I was thinking, there's a thing, and then they came to Senlac Hill to do some water sports and all that, but they didn't have it because it was a lake of blood, and they should have guessed that something bad was going to happen at the Senlac. And then there's things like, obviously...
Oh, and the travel rep has to tell them the archery's off today.
The archery's off today, well done, exactly. No, Harry, ever since Harry had that accident, Harold had the accident with the thing, and then you can, it's like, no need to do selfies, you can get your own tapestry later.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a self-tapestry.
And something about health and safety as well.
Health and safety. And then all the different things that we know about, there are enough things about the Battle of Hastings that we know that you could transmute into a story about centre parks.
Yeah, exactly. The horses all kind of sideways and
stuff. Everybody, you can tell the Norman. Go and just ask a Norman. You can tell a Norman because they're sideways with the sort of plate thing over their nose.
Exactly.
And they've all got horses.
Yes. Yes, really jolly. I think that's really jolly. I think mine is a bit serious.
And yours is, because it's sarcastic, it's tricky. The only problem with mine is that mine isn't going to be clickbaity. If I do a quite involved pastiche, I will do it as much as like my father as I can, because it's the kind of thing he would have done. And it would have been great in Punch in 1982. But I, on the pages of the Times op-ed in 2023, people might just go, boring, your father
Well, and this one, the super satire one, the headline would be, pave over everything. But bluebells are boring, pave over the lot.
Yeah, and then there's...
And then you go, fucking,
40% of Times readers would think I meant it.
Yeah.
And they'd complain and I'd get 1,000 comments. Mm-hmm. One or the other. What do I want? Do I want to do a quality piece of comic writing or do I want clicks? You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription. So, that's the end of Season 9. We're off for the Easter break, and Season 10 will begin in a couple of weeks.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.